On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kedar Tierkent. Glad you could be here. We're checking in on the next generation 911 system rollout in our state and how call center systems will be transformed, allowing 911 operators to receive cell phone texts, videos, seamlessly share data with other systems. Back in 2019, Wisconsin received a $2.9 million federal grant to help call centers buy equipment. The funds needed to be spent by earlier this year. Join in with your questions about 911 capabilities, the rollout, 800-642-1234. Eric Veal is Director of Emergency Communications for Wisconsin. The office is housed under the Department of Military Affairs. Eric, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. It feels like next generation 911 has been on the horizon for years now. Can you walk us through the capabilities first and how it will be different from the current system?
Sure. So the primary differences or benefits of next generation 911 will be enhanced caller location and call routing. So with the new system, they'll have GPS coordinates when you're calling on your cell phone. So public safety answering points or dispatch centers will be able to locate you as well as an Uber driver. The enhanced call routing will make sure that your location is routed to the correct dispatch center. So because we know your precise location, because we're getting those GPS coordinates, we're able to make sure we're getting you to the correct public safety answering point. There will be faster call routing and call delivery. We've heard that in other states where this has been implemented, callers typically calls are being answered almost before it rings.
Hmm.
And then the network is also more resilient and reliable with more built-in redundancies and automatic rerouting of call traffic based upon congestion or availability of a local PSAT.
So just digging a little bit deeper into the system will be faster. Where are we at now in terms of a call getting answered and handled versus what might be possible with more advanced technology?
It's not uncommon if you call 911 now to actually have it ring a couple times. It takes a little bit of time for the current technology to actually receive and process and route the call. So even if a call taker is ready to answer, the system will give you one or two rings before it actually gets to a call taker. That time is greatly reduced with next generation 911.
In what situations will video or text messages be useful for operators in this new system? Walk us through the developments there.
Sure. Well, that is certainly an emerging technology that next generation 911 will support. It is not one of the core services, but it is a service that will ride on the new network. And it is a capability that each community or local public safety answering point will need to determine how and when to roll out. As I'm sure you know, Wisconsin is a home rule state. Dispatch centers and public safety answering points are typically run by local municipalities, cities, villages, and counties. Each one of those have their own emergency services jurisdictions. And if one of them were to implement texting to 911 or the ability to send picture or video messages, that rollout would need to be well coordinated with the local community so that the citizens would know, when that service would become available and how and when to use it. Not to forget that the dispatch center call takers themselves would also have to receive training and protocols on how and when to use that information. So although, we are embarking on our transition to next generation 911 now as a state, by building a network to support it. As PSAPs join, they won't necessarily come online with the ability to receive texts or videos right out of the gate. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. And PSAPs are these dispatch call centers?
Yeah, I was hoping to take a moment to go over acronyms real quick. I'm going to
we might take a day to go over acronyms.
Yeah. Next generation 911 is the technology that we're talking about. Sometimes I'll say next gen 911, or I'll try to avoid saying NG 911. The first step to bringing next generation 911 is to build an emergency services IP network, or ESINet. I'm also going to try to avoid saying ESINet, but that is the digital network that connects dispatch centers to a service provider. What we're building today will primarily run on fiber optic cable. There will be some copper, and there could be some other ancillary means of communication, but it's primarily going to be a fiber network. And then when I say PSAP, that stands for Public Safety Answering Point. And so that's what you think of when you call a 911 center. The call takers are at a PSAP. Okay. People often associate them with dispatch centers. They use the terms synonymously. They are different, however. Not every dispatch center is a PSAP, and not every PSAP is a dispatch center. But I think for the purposes of our call, we can count them as the same thing. And then the final acronym would be GIS, or Geographical Information Systems, which is kind of a digital mapping system. Maps are very important to next-gen 911 because call takers need to be able to locate you. And so the accuracy of those maps is very important between jurisdictions.
I'm going to reintroduce you for a moment here. We're talking with Eric Veal, the Director of Emergency Communications, and looking at technology upgrades to the Emergency Communications 911 system. Perhaps a little bit of an alphabet soup. You can join in with what you want to know about 911, 800-642-1234. Eric, getting back to text messaging, there are already 3,200, more than 3,200 call centers nationwide, the FCC says, that are capable of receiving 911 text messages, and they keep this master Excel chart that was last updated at the end of last month, and it shows who's capable straight across the country. Is Wisconsin behind on implementing this technology?
So I like to say that Wisconsin's rollout places us kind of in the middle of the pack of when compared to the other 50 states in the U.S. We are certainly making great progress with building out the ESINet and connecting dispatch centers. That progress will also continue to text messages and multimedia.
So when can people expect to start using NextGen 911? Where are you in the timeline for the rollout exactly?
We have a contract with AT&T to build the network. We had earlier this year, we had the first public safety answering points that had began to sign on to use the new system. I think currently we're up to 25 PSAPs out of an estimated 120. The next steps are to begin onboarding those public safety answering points. So that's where, we'll come in and work with them so they could ready their back-end equipment room to receive equipment and have the network installed.
Eric Veal, Director of Emergency Communications for the state, the office under the Department of Military Affairs, giving us an update on NextGen 911, the work to bring the technology behind calling 911 up to current standards, especially as people call from cell phones. Join in with your questions on 911 operations, 800-642-1234. There's more State Cap in a moment. Stay with us here in the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're getting a status update on the work of bringing analog-era 911 call center technology to the digital age, giving potentially life-saving ability for people to send text messages, pictures, videos in an emergency. A report by the Federal Communications Commission at the end of last year says more than 3,000 911 call centers nationwide were capable of receiving text messages by the end of 2020. Joining in the upgrades, 800-642-1234. Eric Veal is Director of Emergency Communications for the state of Wisconsin with us for about 10 more minutes. Let's bring in Michael now in Madison. Hi, Michael. What would you like to ask?
Hello and good morning. So I have a question regarding, so with different municipalities having different kind of technological abilities and financial abilities that they can handle, how can you reliably track someone, say, if I'm in, not to besmirch it, but like if I'm in Green Bay, but I'm registered in Madison and you ping my cell phone and it comes up Madison, how can you like, how reliable is that to, at an instant, find somebody?
Michael, thank you. Eric?
Sure. So on your cell phone, there are GPS information. And when you call 911, that information will be transmitted to your carrier. And that carrier will use that to send to our next generation 911 core. Which will then route to the proper PSAP. There will be fallback. If we are unable to get that GPS data, we can revert back to the legacy method of locating a cellular caller, which is looking at what tower that cell phone caller is actually connecting to. And because we have a physical address for the tower and we know what sector of the tower that's receiving the signal, we can do cellular routing in that way, but that is a little bit less accurate than using the GPS coordinates from the phone itself.
You mentioned you're building this out with AT&T. How closely do you have to work with the other carriers, the other cell phone carriers on this technology?
Very closely. They're all very important partners. Although AT&T is building our network and going to provide the core services, the other carriers still need to provide, get the cell phone and landline traffic to us. So once the ESINet is built and a PSAP has connected to it, that's when AT&T and my office and the local municipality works with the carriers in their jurisdiction to be able to begin migrating their callers onto the new network. And so that's a process that kind of can happen, you know, one at a time until the myriad of carriers in that area are all cut over.
How are smartwatches that can make emergency calls, I wonder, impacting, these PSAPs, the 911 call centers?
You know, that's another emerging technology that NextGen 911 will be able to support. If the smartwatch is able to access a voice communication network and dial 911, then, that will get routed to the PSAP and they will have information to dispatch services to those types of callers as well.
Let's talk about cost. What is the price range for municipalities to get the next gen 911 technology off the ground and working?
So it certainly varies based upon the size of the municipality. But there's really, there's two components. There's many components of costs that the PSAPs have to deal with. But two primary ones would be the cost to join a network. And in this case, the state has provided my office with an appropriation to fund that. So when a municipal PSAP joins our network, we're covering that cost. The other side of that, though, is the call handling equipment that's actually in the dispatch center that's sitting on the table that the call taker actually uses to answer the call and has the screen with the map where the caller, pops up on. That technology is purchased, procured, and owned, maintained by the local PSAP. And that does need to be capable of supporting next generation 911. You mentioned the $2.9 million grant
Yes.
a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
That grant was primarily utilized by local municipalities to upgrade and make ready their call taking equipment so that they could join an ASINET.
How many municipalities were able to get a piece of that nearly $3 million grant?
I'm going to estimate that about 100 did,
okay.
But I don't have the exact number on the top of my head.
So what other funding abilities do municipalities have to be able to, you know, really get this technology going and to get it online as soon as possible? Where will they look to when they're, you know, when some municipalities have really, really tight budgets and are looking for way, you know, for looking for ways to shed things from their budget, not add?
Mm-hmm. So the state has created two additional grant programs to support the transition to next generation 911. There $6 million annually is available to help support the transition that can be used to purchase call taking equipment. Like we mentioned before, it can be used for training. It could be used for backroom infrastructure like HVAC systems to support the server room. And then there's a second grant program that was recently created that's devoted to helping communities update and ready their GIS data or their mapping data to make sure that it's in the we need all of the mapping data to kind of be in the same format in order to upload it to a central location and make all the maps line up. So there is going to be ongoing support while the state makes this transition.
Eric Veal with us, Director of Emergency Communications Office under the Department of Military Affairs, as we discuss Wisconsin's transition to next-gen 911. Taking your questions along the way, 800-642-1234. Eric, how vulnerable could next-gen 911 be to cyber attacks, to some type of outside attack?
Yeah, so, you know, all computer networks are vulnerable to intrusion or cyber attacks in some way or another. We are lucky that, you know, this is going to be a private network. It's not going to be, directly connected to the internet. That certainly will limit access to it. And then, we're partnering with AT&T that will be managing the security of the network. And we're very confident that we will be able to implement and maintain a secure network to support NG911.
FirstNet is also something I wanted to ask you about, this wireless nationwide network that gives public safety people a dedicated network for communicating. What is FirstNet and how does it roll into next-gen 911 technology?
Yeah, so FirstNet is, as you mentioned, it's a nationwide public safety broadband network. So it's like 4G LTE for police, fire, and EMS that has been built out over the past 7 years now through a federal contract with AT&T FirstNet. And that that network can support next generation 911 networks as part of, backup connectivity. So if a PSAP has, one fiber path into the network and that fiber gets cut and they're in a location where they didn't have access to a second fiber line, they could have a FirstNet router or device there to fall back on. And so they could still receive 911 calls just over the FirstNet network.
Oh, it's almost like a backup or a redundancy as well.
That's correct.
So, as you look at staffing situations in these centers, we've had a lot of issues with, emergency and fire service struggling to maintain staffing. How much is that shortage affecting these 911 call centers and response times?
Staffing has been a problem in dispatch and for many years. It has certainly increased during the Great Resignation and the realignment of the nation's workforce in response to COVID-19. But I do know that, dispatch center directors and PSAP managers are working very hard to recruit and retain people. so that it will have a minimum to no impact on call times.
Eric, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Eric Veal is Director of Emergency Communications for Wisconsin. The office is under the Department of Military Affairs. Just ahead, State Capitol Report continues with a conversation on shared revenue and what local governments are saying about their budget needs related to the portion of state tax revenue that reaches their local coffers. Join in with your take on shared revenue, your local experiences and solutions, 800-642-1234. News update is next. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.